Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take out the blue sheet that you have there and open up your Bibles to the book of Matthew. And we are going to complete tonight the messages on the task. And I just want to say thank you to Byron Nichols and to Craig Olive and to Kurt Shiver, who have helped me tremendously. These folks are experts not only in knowing the theology of what we're trying to communicate, but actually living it out and doing it. And it is such a tremendous blessing to work with them. And tonight I just want to, as best I can, summarize all that we've learned and do it simply, okay? Hopefully this will create a way to sort of summarize the whole mission and challenge to the local church. I think that's pretty important, don't you? I think it's pretty important that we think this through and we evaluate what the Lord has commanded us to do. So in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." And that word nations is the word ethne, which means people groups, all the people groups of the world. By the way, we have multiple people groups coming right here. Not only are we to go out, we had that group we're sending out. A bunch, there are five different groups. And by the way, Kurt Shiver's leading a group to Cuba to train pastors. And before you get out of here, we want to pray for you. I don't mean tonight. I mean before you get out of here to go on the trip. We want to commission you. But what I'm saying is we've got people coming and going. But I have met so many people from all places of the world, different ethne groups that are right here. Hey, look, Wednesday night is exciting. It's exciting. Sundays are exciting. But we have our conversational English program, and we have folks from all over the world that come to learn English. And we've got multiple things happening through global connections and other things that where we have the world right here in front of us. But the Bible says, go therefore and make disciples. Jesus said, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, there's one thing I want to make sure everyone in here knows tonight. And if you get this wrong, I'm going to really feel, so I'm putting the pressure on you. In Matthew 28, verse 19, the scholars tell us there's really only one command in that passage. Now, there are other things written that have the force of a command, but there's technically one command, and it's made up of two words. I'm giving you every hint I can give you. And the first word starts with an M. No, okay, all right. What is the command? Make disciples. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get this nailed down in our mind. Chrissy, don't talk in church. Okay, all right. She's saying she got it wrong in church. All right, look. Folks, let me say something. There's something the Lord has called us to do. He's called us to make disciples. And can I say this? We ought to, everything we do in the life of this church, we ought to be thinking, is it helping us to make disciples, okay? So that is the command. I wanted to just start with that because it's so important. Now, we do that by going, by baptizing, and by teaching. Now, number two, spiritual maturity continually multiplied in others should be our goal. Now, in 1 Peter, why don't you go to 1 Peter, and let's look at some of these scriptures here. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it says this, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you will grow thereby. Folks, listen, we all ought to be maturing. The Bible says we've been born again. A little baby is born. A baby, we had five of them born into our family. And so, you know, oh, by the way, the Rosado baby, Kelly and I got to go see little Jacob Theodore. Man, I tell you, what a handsome young man. And but, you know, their goal is for that little baby to grow. And so that ought to be our goal. Every member of this church, every person we can influence, we ought to encourage them to grow spiritual maturity. How do you do that? You do that by the Word of God. All Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then I want to show you something in the book of Hebrews that's really a challenging verse of Scripture. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13, the Scripture says this, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Verse 14, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." We can't always be on the bottle. We got to grow up. We've got to tackle some spiritual meat. We got to eat some T-bone steak spiritually. And that's all a part of spiritual maturity. So as a church family, one of the things we've been thinking about in this task study is that spiritual maturity continually multiplied in others should be our goal. All right? 2 Timothy 2:2 says that the things you've heard of me among witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will in turn teach others. The aim, we aim at Christ-likeness. That's our aim. Be like Jesus. Can I tell you this? If you're like Jesus, we're going to get along okay. Amen? We're all going to get along okay if you're like Jesus. This is not rocket science. It's what the Lord Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to have his character. And that scripture in Philippians says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." He humbled himself and became obedient, even the death on the cross. And so spiritual maturity multiplied in others should be our goal. That means in our life groups, that means in our worship service, that means in our youth activities, that means in every facet, our women's ministry, our men's ministry, it all should wrap around the idea of bringing spiritual maturity to people, all right? Now, here's the third thing I want you to think about. Number three, all right? First of all, number one, we're commanded to make disciples. Number two, spiritual maturity is what we're aiming at, Christ-likeness. Number three, God challenges his people to do the work. He's challenging his people to do the work. He says, "The things you've heard, commit to faithful men who will teach others." In Ephesians chapter 4, Let me read that to you. Find that in your Bible. Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it says, "And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." Now here is our task: for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is so simple in the sense of understanding it that it's very convicting if we're not doing it. Because this is what we ought to be doing. All of us are to be equipped to do the work of the ministry. Everyone needs a ministry. Everyone needs to take part in the process of seeing spiritual maturity come in the lives of others, all right? Now, this has been the pattern, make no mistake about it, congregation, this has been the pattern all over the Bible. As a matter of fact, go back to the book of Deuteronomy. This is interesting. Go all the way back to Deuteronomy, and I want to show you this in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 3, okay? Go back to chapter 3 of Deuteronomy. I keep talking while I'm finding it, right? You picked up on that? All right. Deuteronomy chapter 3. I still hadn't found it. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 28. I'm sure it's up on the board and been there a long time. All right. The Lord is speaking to Moses. And look what he says. He says, but command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you will see. God challenged, even way back in the Old Testament, he was challenging his followers to encourage other followers. That's part of what we do. We stir up the gift of God in others. And so you see that in the Old Testament. You see it with Barnabas to the Apostle Paul. And there's so many illustrations. We're not going to read all these verses. But Barnabas encouraged Paul. And Paul became a great missionary. And then Paul, to Timothy, in 1 Timothy 1:1, he calls him, and following, he calls him his son in the faith, his son in the Lord. And then Jesus to the 12. Jesus called them to spend time with them, and then he sent them out. So, folks, this is not a new concept. This is what God has used throughout all of history to bring transformation in people's lives. Here's what it is. It's the people of God encouraging others. Disciple making. Is that making sense? Is something on TV y'all are thinking about tonight? Because if there is, tell me what it is and we pray and get there. But no, seriously, that's the point. The point is God has always used his children to encourage others. Boy, I tell you, if I could name all the people that have been mentors to me that have encouraged me, it's unbelievable the number of people that have encouraged me. Dr. Waylon Moore talks about long-distance mentors. There's a bunch of preachers I've never met personally, but I'm telling you, their preaching has encouraged me and challenged me. There are biographies, people of history that have encouraged me. You see what I'm saying? And then there are those that are right there in the local church that have encouraged me. So this has been his pattern. God challenges his people to do the work. Number four, spiritual disciplines are used by God to bring transformation. What does the book of Romans say after Paul described all of the book of Romans, the salvation that is offered in Christ? He says, therefore, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Then he says in verse 2, don't be transformed. He said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will prove what is that perfect and acceptable will of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right, how do we renew our mind? Well, throughout history, people have been called to read the Scripture. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So these are spiritual disciplines that God has used to help people grow. You say, I don't know how to help somebody grow. All right, I can tell you right now. Go to number four, and anyone you want to help grow, that can be a friend, that can be someone in your life group, that can be one of your children. Anybody you want to help grow, challenge them in the big five. Kurt's the one that coined that phrase. Kurt, did you make that up, Kurt? No. I knew you didn't, but I thought I'd had to give you credit. But anyway, no, Kurt told us about the big five. What are the big five? Quiet time. What is a quiet time? It's spending time in the morning, sometime in the day, with the Lord, reading God's Word. Now, there's a little Bible. I meant to bring it with me. There's a little, well, here it is right here. This little deal right here. This is a reading guide for a quiet time. You say, I don't know how to have a quiet time. Well, we had a whole lesson on that, but you could get it online, but it's very simple. You decide where you're going. You plan a way to read Scripture, and then you as you read it, you say, Lord, speak to my heart something I need to hear from you. That's a quiet time. And then you spend some time in prayer with the Lord. I wish I had the exact statistic, but I think that I read this week that Dr. Tom Rader said that only 19% of Christians have a quiet time, read the Bible at all on their own. Folks, listen. I love preaching the Bible. I love teaching the Bible. I love going through the book of Ruth. Man, I'm excited about Boaz showing up in chapter 3, man. There's a deal in chapter 3 of Ruth where she's going to go find him late at night and lay down at his feet. It's some kind of a deal that in those days meant I'm not going to get into it, okay? But she lays down at his feet. We're going to talk about that. I can't wait to do it. But can I tell you this? If all you're getting is just from me, it's not enough. It's not enough. And those you want to encourage, your children, those in your life group, those that you have influence over, if all they're getting is preaching on Sunday morning, and let's be honest, they're not all getting it Sunday night. Look around. Praise the Lord, you're getting it on Sunday night. You're here. You know, so if all they're getting Sunday morning, and that's it, that's not enough. And so you need a quiet time. All right, here's another one, evangelism, learning how to share our faith. Now, I brought some tools. There are tools for different things in these spiritual disciplines. One of them was this little reading guide. And if you want one of these, we have them. There's some in the office there. There may be some back there. We've had multiple different types of reading guides, but you just need a reading guide. If you're not sure where to begin, start in the book of John. Just the Gospel of John. There are 21 chapters in the Gospel of John, and read it. You may want to even start in the book of Philippians and just read Philippians chapter 1 the first day. There's 4 chapters. And then go back and read chapter 1 again. Read it until you have a familiarity with that book of the Bible. But this is a great reading guide here. But when you think about evangelism, there are all kinds of tools to help you with evangelism. This is a booklet, Steps to Peace with God. It is a booklet that I gave away this week to someone, encouraging them, saying, hey, this is some good news I want you to have. Mr. Brannon taught me years ago when I was a college student in his Bible class, he said, you think that dress shirt has a pocket on it to hold a pen. It's really designed as a track rack. He taught me that. And so everywhere he goes, he comes and gets all my tracks, by the way. He takes all the church's tracks. If you don't find tracks around here, go ask him. He's got them all, okay? But anyway, this is a great one. Steps to Peace with God. Hey, can I tell you this? I will pledge to you. I've told young people this my whole ministry, and I'll tell the whole church family this. Now, don't export this to other churches. But we'll buy all the tracks you want. I had a college student one time said, I found a little infinity track. It had infinity on it, you know, the symbol for infinity. He said, would you get me some of those? I said, how many do you want? He said, 800 of them. I said, okay. So we bought them. Hey, if somebody's going to get the gospel to people, this is one here. This is one called the Three Circles. There's a gentleman that was here yesterday, a week ago today, and he was here again today. And I shared this with him last Sunday. The Three Circles. It's a simple, you can just read it to somebody and show them. They even have this on an app on your phone. Evangelism. We've got to show people and train people. And it's not just giving you the tool. It's actually, we need to do a better job of actually showing people how to share their faith, okay? And demonstrating that. But that's part of the big five. And then scripture memory. The Navigator topical memory system is the best that's ever been put together. But there are other great verses of scripture that you can memorize. And in some of our follow-up tools, there are scripture memory cards. I'll show you that in a second. And then prayer. People think prayer is you have to have a certain voice to pray. Oh, thou great and awesome God. You know what prayer is? Talking to God just like we're talking. Just telling the Lord What's going on in your life? And then healthy relationships, because the bridge of a healthy relationship is the bridge by which the gospel travels freely. So as you love people and have healthy relationships with others, these are the big five. They're spiritual disciplines. Now, folks, look, we can argue with it all we want, but the truth is, those that participate in these big five, Bible study and prayer and evangelism and scripture memory, healthy relationships, those are the disciplines that help us grow spiritually and are transformed. It's like blocking and tackling in football. You got to learn how to block and you got to learn how to tackle. If you don't know how to do those basics, it's hard to grow. All right? Number five, God gives his mission these resources to get the job done. In addition to these disciplines, now this is very encouraging. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 3, 7. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now here's your blank there. God gives his mission these resources to get the job done. The first one is the Holy Spirit. Do you know that the Holy Spirit of God is working behind the scenes to help my sorry efforts? Now, I want to do better. I want to be a better disciple maker. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better dad. But isn't it encouraging to know that the Holy Spirit, God is the one who gives the increase. God is the one who moves in lives. And so we have that. The second thing is the local church. That's us. Folks, when people come in here, we need to shower them with encouragement and love. We need to preach the Bible unequivocally. We need to preach the Bible with excitement and yet with conviction, so that when people come in here, they know the Word of God is reigning here and it is paramount and it can bring conviction in their life. But the church is the divine incubator, and we are to equip all of the people in the church to do the work of the ministry. And then, so he gives the Holy Spirit, he gives the church, and he gives you. You as a part of the body of Christ. Because Jesus called his disciples. He said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. So folks, the task of the ministry is for all of us to be fishing for men, telling people about Jesus Christ, and being a part of entrusting to the next generation, to the next generation of believers, the things we've learned. So here it is, number six, and we're going to end. We are to go. This is telling people about Jesus. We do it personally. We do it with these tools, steps to peace with God, the three circles, the Romans Road. If you're writing something down, we don't have time to go through page by page, but write these verses down. I give you the Romans Road to Salvation. I've used this forever, my whole Christian life. Romans 3:23. And then write down Romans 6:23. And then write down Romans 5, 8, and 9. And then write down Romans 10, 9, and 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then I always end it with John 3:16. Even though that's not in Romans, I end it with John 3:16. That's the basic Romans road to salvation. You can mark that in your Bible and show somebody how to be saved by doing that. And then we are to baptize. Praise the Lord, we've been baptizing people. That is connecting people to the family, the church family. We are to baptize. We are to connect people to the family. Now, Hannah was baptized today. Best I can tell, she's connected with our college students. She's connected with people in relationships that are encouraging. Every person we baptize has got to be connected. Now, how do we do that? We do that in life groups. Mark that down. Life groups are the key for us in connecting people in Bible study and in their life stage, studying God's Word. We do other things. We have the Bread Breakers ministry, where hospitality is a tremendous asset in that. Our men's events and our women's events. All of these things are used to connect people to the family. And then we are to teach to observe. That is teaching and training. Teaching and training people to observe the things that we have been commanded to do. So important that we, but this is a simple synopsis of what we have tried to say and what we have tried to study this semester as we've looked at the Great Commission. We are to go, we are to baptize, and we are to teach. And all of those things will help us to make disciples. Now, here's the point. Where are our places in this task? We have our life group ministry. By the way, I tell the new members of our church, I say to them, you know what? You know what we offer you. Now let me share with you what we expect of you. And you know what the new members in our church and those interested in our church, you know what they do? They shake their head like, we want to know what you expect. So I'm just going to tell y'all, most of y'all are members here, I'm going to tell y'all what I tell them. Number one, worship with us. That means show up and come. I got no amens to that. That's okay. I understand. I got one amen right here. Show up and come. Worship with us. Number two, do life with us in a life group. Study with us. Get in a life group. Okay? That's number two. And then number three, serve alongside us. So we are involved in a small group. We worship together and we serve together. These are the mechanisms by which disciple making happens in the local church, and then out of that come special relationships of encouragement that happen in intentional accountability with one another in our quiet time, scripture memory, and other things like that. That will help us create an environment in the life of our church where people can grow. Folks, if we all sit here, we're all at the same level, and 10 years from now we've never moved, we failed. We need to become more like Jesus, and we need to take some people with us. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.